Time in this service, so I left my watch in his office, so we're going to be here for a little while. I'm just kidding. Our prayer through this story, and I hope that you guys have enjoyed. Your dad said he's got a watch. That's awesome. Is that what you put up with? I see it. You know what? I'll be praying for you more often now.
Yeah.
You just threw me off, Mr. Hines. Thanks a lot. So I'm really excited to dive into what we're going to dive into. But before we do that, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what we've been doing and the sermons that have been laid on Alan's heart and Charlie's heart and Seth's heart that have been stepping in and preaching. And I'm praying that our prayer is that while you guys come here and you sit and you listen to us babble up here for a little while, that it's not just left here. Our prayer is that you take it, that you allow it to do its work in your heart and in your lives, and that you're genuinely and truly impacted when you walk out these doors, and that you're changed, because that's what God calls us to do. He doesn't call us to just walk this path and not be any different. We are to walk this path changed because we serve a risen Lord. Amen. So this story is no different. I'm excited. I'm really excited. This is an awesome story. And I'm going to keep kind of belaboring a little bit, so you guys have to wait to see what we're talking about. I'm just kidding. So I want to ask you another question. Are these stories just stories to you? Do you feel like they're made up, or maybe there's some fallacy to them, or sometimes they're hard to believe, or are you confident that this is from God, and these stories are from the Bible, and that this isn't some made-up movie, that this is a true historical story of God? So here we go. We are going to be in David and Goliath today. Yes. So excited. Yeah. You should be excited about that. So 1 Samuel 17 is where we are. That's where we're going to be. I want to show you this main point that I would love for you guys to walk out of here with, that you can kind of wrestle with. So here it is. I have the clicker. I'm still getting used to that. All right, here we go. Our battles are won with the one. So we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about the preparation that David goes through. We're going to be talking about everything that he goes through leading up to the battle. And then we're going to be talking about what happens in the battle and what happens after the battle. And we're going to talk about what God can and wants to do in the midst of the battle, because our battles are won with the one. So that's what we're going to sit on. So we're going to jump right in. We're just going to read together. Is anybody, if you need a Bible, because we're going to be, I don't have it up on the screen, we're literally going to be reading. So if you need a Bible, we have two lovely folks in the back that can just slip your hand up, and they'll be happy to walk a Bible over to you, or run, or Maria might do some moving meditation pose as she's coming through. Yeah, so we're going to be reading right from 17:1. So here we go. Let's pray real quick before we dive into the Word again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your love for this church. God, I know a lot of us come in here with baggage. We come in here with stuff that we're dealing with right now. We come in here with things that we just feel like we can't overcome. And God, I pray that right now that we can just settle in the fact that you are our loving God and you are right there with us, God. So please just prepare our hearts for what we're about to hear, God, and let us listen to your word. We love you so much. In your great and precious name we pray. Amen. All right, 17:1, here we go. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah and Ephes-Demim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. So right from the jump, they're giving us a visual. They're giving us an idea of what this battle is looking like. So if you can imagine with me, if you can imagine this mountaintop over here, and the Israelites decided to camp over here, and then on the other side of this valley is the Philistine army. And in between them is this deep valley. And they're standing there, and they get up every day, and they're ready to fight. But if they go to battle, there's an incredible disadvantage to walk down the mountaintop, across the valley, and up the other mountaintop. So they're just kind of sitting there. They're just kind of standing there. They're waiting. They're wondering what's going to happen. Can you guys picture that? So let's go on. Here we go. And 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So 6 cubits and a span, that's about 9.5 feet. So this guy was huge, super tall, 9'6" is what that comes out to be. In 5, it continues to say, he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. 5,000 shekels is about 125 pounds of armor that this guy has on. And it goes on to say, and he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Now if you guys, a weaver's beam, I read that and I was like, what in the world is that? So upon looking it up, a weaver's beam is a loom, okay? So if you can think of this loom with the fabric going through it, the weaver's beam had the structure that kept it together. And the beam across the top was nice and thick and big. So it had one on the bottom, or the top, and it had one on the bottom. Then the fabric went through it, and that's what the loom was made of. So it was the structure of the loom. So we're not talking about like a spear. We're talking about this big joker that this guy was carrying around. And then on top of it, listen to this. Weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekel, and a shield bearer went before him. So the 600 shekel is about 15 pounds. So I'm an image guy. I like to close my eyes, and I like to imagine what this looked like. 9'6". Big enough to house 125 pounds plus of armor. Big enough to carry a big spear with a spearhead that weighs 15 pounds. This guy is massive. You think Lou Luke is big. This guy makes him look like a 9'6". I'm about 6 feet tall. So you're 3.5 feet taller than me. And just this massive man. You know what's kind of interesting to me? We talked before we could visualize this war that was about to take place. We talked about the Israelites and the Philistines and coming down. They're a little timid about doing it. Goliath is like, I don't care about this. He goes trouncing right down into the valley. He is fearless, kind of dumb, and fearless. I wouldn't do that. But I'm also not 9'6". But I do have God on my side, so maybe I would. So here we go. Let's continue. We're going to continue on verse 8. So they're talking about Goliath. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and he said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. In verse 11 it says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So this guy comes out as arrogant as he can be. And what they do, it's called representative combat. Back in the day, they used to take their strongest, biggest, best champion from one army, and they put it up against the biggest, strongest, best champion of another. And whoever won that battle, the other nation surrendered. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of weight. You guys see the magnitude of that? Like, who's going to go up against Goliath knowing that they could completely change the history of their nation and have to surrender to another nation and be under their charge? That's tough. So here Goliath is, knowing that there's probably nobody as big as him. This guy is enormously huge. And he's like, come on, send him to me. Send your biggest warrior. It's going to be quick. I'm going to be able to take care of it. Just as arrogant as can be. So I want to introduce this word right here, defy, because this is seen about 7 times throughout the scripture that we're going to be reading today. And defy says to openly resist or refuse to obey. So Goliath comes down and time and time and time again, he is defying the Israelites, who are God's army. So he's defying them every time. He is openly resisting God. He's openly refusing to obey God. So every time he comes out, This is what he's doing. Turning his back on God, saying, you guys got nothing on me. So it's an open refusal. Seven times it's mentioned throughout this. This defiance is mentioned. And look what it says in verse 16. If you go on up, verse 16. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So picture this, guys. Israelites are getting ready for battle. They get all charged up. They're ready to go. The Philistines are ready for battle. They stand there and they watch and they're waiting. Goliath comes down to the valley. He's like, here I am. And every day he comes out and he defies God from the jump. He's sitting there. He's like, you guys got nothing on me. Come on, send your only man. I'm going to defeat you and then you guys are going to surrender to us. So he goes down with confidence, an arrogant confidence. And he comes down every day and refuses to obey and to submit to God. Listen, 40 days. Let's flip the script a little bit and think about how that relates to us. How many of us in this room have giants that we don't deal with? How many in this room have stuff that we're like, yeah, we'll deal with that a different time. We'll push that off a little bit. We don't want to deal with it right now. How many of us walk up to a battle thinking that we're ready? We see our giant, we see our issue, we see our situation, and then we turn and we go the other way. How many of us do that? And do you know what happens every time we do that? The giant doesn't go away. That issue, that situation, it still sits there lingering. And it's like Goliath was with the children of Israel right in his face. He's still right there. He's not going anywhere because nobody's choosing to deal with it. Guys, we need to face our giants. And there's a reason why we can face our giants, and the story's going to outline that. But for 40 days, morning and night, this guy came down, sat there, and waited. He literally sat in the valley and waited for somebody to come combat with him. 40 days and 40 nights. Guys, if you don't deal with your giant like the Israelites did, it's not going to go away. So verse 12 is where we're first introduced to David in this story. I'm getting a little toasty. It's okay to take off my jacket, right? Is that okay, Alan? I'm just kidding. All right, so in verse 12, we're introduced to David. Okay, and this is the first place. So I'm just gonna jump off script a little bit, and I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about what the story of David is in this situation. So I want to remind you what Charlie talked about last week. So David was chosen to replace Saul as king, and if you remember, the people wanted Saul. God chose David. There's a huge difference there, right? So if you remember, God spoke to Samuel and said, hey, Samuel, go visit Jesse, get his boys, his sons to come out in front of you, and then I'll let you know which son is going to be anointed king. So if you remember, seven sons came out in front of him seven times, and God's like, nope, 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 that's not him. And then that was it. And Samuel's like, hey, is this all you got? And Jesse's like, oh, well, there's my little Pee-wee son over there. He's the shepherd in the field. He possibly can't be him. And Samuel's like, bring him here. And he was the one that was anointed king. Now, 15 years old is about how old. Landon, how old are you? 14? 15? 14? We'll call you 15 for today. Just kidding. So imagine if Landon was told and he was anointed king. I know what I would have done at 15 years old. Ha! I'm the king. Y'all better bow down to me. We can start right now. Adam, go get me a sandwich. Alan, go get me a sweet tea. I really need some Chick-fil-A. Like, you guys are bowing down to me. I'm the king, 15 years old. Forget being a shepherd anymore. Somebody else can deal with that minuscule little job because I just got anointed king. I'm the man. That's what I would have done. David, thanks. Went back to being a shepherd. Went back to serving. Went back to doing the job that God called him to do at that time. He didn't make a big deal about it. He didn't bring the attention to him. And all of this is what David is doing, or God is doing in David to prepare him for what's to come. All these little things that we seem to maybe overlook sometimes, these are the little things that God's doing inside David to prepare him for what's to come. How many times do we miss out on that? How many times in these little opportunities where we're like, oh, I don't really feel like doing that job. That job is for somebody else. I'm not going to do that. That's beneath me. And we move on to something else. David was obedient to that. He did his job and he did it well. And you're going to see why in a second. Are you excited? Because I am, if you can't tell. So David, throughout the next few verses, we see how David is obedient. We see how Jesse, his dad, calls him and he said, hey, listen, David, you have to go and bring these supplies to the army. Okay, so here's a bunch of supplies, food. This is where you got to bring them. So you got to go. You got to gather this stuff and you got to go. Your three eldest brothers are there. They are fighting this battle. So what I want you to do, I just want you to take it, get up and go. And David could have been like, yeah, right. Do you remember I'm the king? But he didn't. He was obedient. He gathered his stuff early in the morning and was actually at the battlefield before they got ready to go fight. So he's obedient. He's responsible. Like, this is the all this preparation that David's doing, that God's doing in David is so cool. You know what else he did? His responsibility was to tend sheep. His responsibility, he was a shepherd. His responsibility was to take care of the sheep. So you know what he did? Did he just leave and not worry about the sheep? No. He's like, hey, Brett, man, I know you're a shepherd too. Do you mind taking care of the sheep over here? Because my dad asked me to do this thing again. Do you see these small things that David did, that God was doing in David to prepare him for what was to come? I think about the message that Alan preached on about compromise. If you guys remember that message, those little compromises that we make, those little decisions that we make that could potentially and will impact us later on. And Charlie last week talked about the importance of David's heart in all of this. So he pressed on, and which was so good. So David wrote some of the Psalms, right? In Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That was David's prayer. David wanted this pure heart, and God saw that. Guys, do you see all this preparation that's going on? It's huge. These little things that we think are small and insignificant and might not matter, these are the things that are adding up into something big. These little things impact our lives later on. So David's arrival. So here David comes. He's got all the supplies that his dad sent with him. He comes up to the battle and he drops his stuff off with the keeper of the supplies and he runs to the battle. This guy is on a mission. He doesn't probably know why he's running, but he's on a mission. This guy just feels, I gotta go to the front of the army. I gotta go see what's going on there. So he goes to the front of the army and he's there. He dropped the supplies off, and while he's there, the same thing happened that's been happening for 40 mornings, 40 evenings. The Philistines, the Israelites, Goliath comes down, and David hears this. And David's sitting there like, what the heck is going on? He's in awe. And it still says, after all this time, if you look at verse 24, it tells us the mindset of the Israelites. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So they're still running from this giant. They're still fearful. There's still nothing happening. It's still the same story going on. And David comes in, not witnessing this before, sees this going on, and he's like shocked. He can't believe it. He is in awe. How often do we make up in our mind that we're going to finally face the issue that we've put off for so long? And then we wake up and we're like, all right, I got this. And then you walk up to it and you're like, not today. I'll get you tomorrow. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, I'm going to overcome this. I know I am. I'm going to overcome this addiction. I know I am. And you face the addiction. You're like, not today. I'm going to go have another drink. Or you're like, oh man, that porn, man. I'm going to not ever look at it again. And then you walk up to it and you're like, just one more time. And you walk away from facing that giant. How many times have we done that in our lives and continue to do it? And like I said before, that giant, that issue is not going away until you give it to the Lord. It's so important, guys. This What hangs in the balance of all this and your decisions and these little moments about not facing your giants, that is going to impact you for the rest of your life and probably is. Some of the decisions that you have made in the past that you've decided not to face your giant, maybe some of the, for me, I've got daddy issues. I don't know my biological dad. I'm still having issues because I'm not willing to sit down and actually face it. That's dumb. That is. That's stupidity. Guys, God tells us. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get there. Stop running the opposite direction and face your fears, darn it. All right. So in the midst of this conversation, David sees what's going on and he's talking to the soldiers and he's like, what the heck is going on with this? I don't understand. Like, what's going on in the midst of all of this? And one of the soldiers is like, hey man, whoever defeats the giant and goes and get him, listen to these benefits that you're going to get. If you go do this, you're going to be, your family's going to be tax exempt and you're going to get the hand of marriage of the king's daughter and you're going to be full of riches. And David's like, I don't care about that. What's that got to do with me? He doesn't care about any of that. Like this worldly stuff that you think would impress somebody. Like if somebody came up to you, Rob, and was like, man, I got $1 million for you. You're already married, so I'm not going to use that other one. You're not going to ever have to pay taxes again. I got this sweet car. Yeah, you ready? Yeah, if we're of this world, we're going to jump all over that. But David wasn't of this world. He was in line with something different, something bigger. And again, look at this in verse 26. David is so fired up. He can't believe what is going on. He's almost like, is this a dream? And he says in verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And when it says uncircumcised Philistine, it's talking about the people that didn't take up God's covenant. So he's like, guys, this is an uncircumcised Philistine. This guy doesn't have God on his side. Who the heck does he think he is defying the armies of the living God? Do you guys not see what's going on here? We're the children of Israel. Did you forget what God did for us? He saved us from slavery. We were dumb time and time and time again, and every time we fell on our face, God was right there to pick us back up. Do you guys not remember this? Guys, like, what's going on? You know the stories, even if you didn't live it. We were slaves. God delivered us from that. We made dumb mistakes. God delivered us from that. We were dumb again. God delivered us from that. We were dumb again. God delivered us from that. Time and time and time again. Do you guys not realize what's going on? This guy doesn't have God. We have God. What are you guys doing? He's fired up. He's more passionate than I am right now. Oh, I love this story. In 1729, David's like, this is after, okay, let me preface this a little bit. So David's older brother catches wind of what David's saying. And he's kind of offended. And he's like, David, who are you? You've been back home, taking care of the sheep, like living your own life, like eating and drinking whatever you want. We're stressing out about this. We have to wake up every day and get ready for battle. Who are you coming here and telling us how we should do things? You're not smart. And David's response was, bro, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Do you not see what we're fighting for here? Do you not see the purpose of what we're doing and why we're doing this? Is there not a cause? Hey, guys, what's your cause? What's your purpose? Why are you living your life? If you're living your life to serve God, which I pray that that's the case, then everything you're doing should line up with that. Everything. There should be no hidden corners. You can't hide from God anyway. God knows everything you're doing. If you didn't know that, that's a memo. I can write it down for you and you guys can take it home. God knows everything you're doing. You can't keep secrets from God. So what's your cause? If your cause is to follow God and you're still hiding off in the corner here doing something that you know is against God's will, stop it. Just stop doing it. If you're allowing your anger to control your emotions and lash out at your kids, stop it. If you're living in a way that you know God, it's not honoring to God, stop doing it. What's your cause? If what you're doing is not lined up with the cause and the purpose of your life, stop. It sounds so simple and we make it so difficult. So David's looking for answers. So they hear all this going on. Saul hears of this and he's like, hey man, bring David to me. I got to talk to this guy. I got to meet him. He doesn't even know who David is at this point. So Saul's like, bring him here. So David comes here, and this next dot is awesome. So we're going to start on verse 32. There we go. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fall because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. David's like, Saul, I'll do it. Pick me. I want to go. I know the cause. I know the purpose. I know why we're here. I know what God is doing in my heart and in my life. I'll go. Pick me. And look at Saul's response. Based upon what? His perception. Based upon how David looks. Look at what he says in verse, where am I? 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against a Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And Saul's like, are you crazy? Do you not understand that if you go and Goliath defeats you, then we are now slaves to the Philistines? You are just this little scrawny little, I'm not going to send you. Do you understand what's going on? And David's like, Saul, you don't understand. You don't get it. Look at David's response here. Oop. Sorry. Forget that. Pretend you didn't see that. All right, here we go. Look at David's response in 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. This guy is a beast. This guy is awesome. He's a warrior. David is a warrior. When I was brought up, and people described this story to me, and I don't know if you guys had the same perception. I had this little scrawny little guy coming up with a little dinky slingshot, and he's like, boink, and knocked the... Dude, no. That's not what happened at all. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it continues to say. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of God. So David's like, you don't understand, like, God's prepared me, like, I'm a warrior. Look at, this wasn't like one of those little pullback little slingshots. Look at this thing. Now you can look. This is what the slingshot looked like. So if you see here, it's got the little ring, which would go around, if you were right-handed or left-handed, it would go around your finger, right? And then the end of the rope, you would grasp it in your other hand, and the sling would hang down. And then you would take that stone, and you'd put it in that little pouch. And then you would go whipping and sling it. This sling is compared to the power of a .44 caliber pistol. This was one of the most deadliest weapons that they used back then. This little stuff that David was doing, being just a shepherd, it made him a skilled warrior. That little thing, that little job where God had him right there, God knew what he was doing the whole time. He was preparing David. Take out that lion. Take out that bear. Take out that wolf. Oh, there's another lion. And let me think about this. This is, somebody mentioned this to me in between services, and I thought it was great. I just lost my train of thought. Darn it. Dag nabbit. Let me show you. I'll show you this, and I'll think about it. So this is what the sling looked like as he was going. So he's whipping it around. They let it loose, and that joker flew. The accuracy that these guys had was incredible. I remembered. So imagine if David didn't go after that one sheep that lion had in his grasp. Imagine if David's like, it's just one. I'm just going to go over here and I'll pay attention to all these guys. If he didn't do that, he wouldn't have gotten that practice to become a skilled warrior. Do you see the prep that God's doing in him to prepare him for something huge? Guys, this is amazing. All right, so this response right here. So David's like, yes, I've killed a bear. Yes, I've killed a lion. That's awesome. But, moreover, David said, the Lord. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. David's like, I'm not your hero. God is your hero. It's not me doing it. It's God doing it through me. I can fight this battle not on my own power and strength, but the strength and the power that God has in me. It's God's battle, not mine. If you have that mindset when you're facing your giants, tell me, how much confidence would you go in? I would go, oh man. My mindset completely changed in the studying of this. I pray that I'm able to face my giants the way that David faces them. So confident that the Lord will deliver me. And you know what? If he doesn't, he is still my God. And we forget that. We think that if the outcome isn't the outcome that I wanted, God let me down. No, he didn't. You have no idea what God's doing in the midst of all of that. You don't know what. David's like, if he sat there and questioned, why am I just a shepherd? I'm the anointed king. I need to be doing more, bigger, greater things. This whole story would be completely different. But God humbled himself before a heavenly father, knew the work that God was doing in his heart, was confident in the Lord, was obedient in God, and that's why this story ends the way that it does. Not because of David, but because of God. Period. How many times do you put yourself as the hero in your story? How many times are you like, I'm the David. I did that. Did you just see what I did? Dude, I did that. No, you didn't. The only reason why you are who you are and can do the things that you do is because God has blessed you with your abilities. It's not you. It's got nothing to do with you. When you're obedient to God and you allow God to do his work, look out. Woo. Alan said we could do that at the beginning. Woo. I listen to my superiors. There's a verse in the Bible, but he said amen. That's awesome. Yeah. I said, Jesus, that's great. Yeah. So Saul responded and he said, okay, you got me on that one. Go ahead, the Lord be with you, dude. Saul's like, I got nothing. I can't argue with that. You're right, David. Go, the Lord be with you. And then this next little portion of this story, I always picture David trying on. So King Saul, who, as Charlie described last week, is this taller guy, right? He's a little bit bigger. He stands out. You recognize him. You notice him. So he was chosen as a king because the people based their decision upon appearance, like a lot of us do. We judge people based upon how they look, which is so dumb. Dumb. It doesn't, guys, this is just, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a female, if you're black, if you're white, if you're yellow, if you're red, you are still a child of God. Man, oh man, let's get over ourselves already. Seriously, that's ridiculous. That's not even part of the sermon. So this next part, Saul looks up David and one down the other, and he's like, David, he's wearing a robe and some sandals. And he's like, David, you can't go like that. Dude, you need our armor. So David, I pictured Saul taking off his armor and putting it on David, and David like almost crippling to the ground, be like, oh, it's so heavy, I can't do it. No, that's not the case at all here, guys. David, when he went to battle with the lions and the bears, was he wearing that armor? Does he have any practice with this armor? No, David's not dumb. He's like, I can't wear this. I haven't tested it out. I haven't even tried it. If I try this, my first try is going to go up against this Goliath. No. Let me just go as I am. So another change of perception for me in all of this. So let's go to 40. Verse 40. Then he took his staff. They're talking about David. He took his staff. And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And a sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. He is so arrogant. This guy takes one look, again, that perception thing, takes one look at David and is like, seriously? You're going to defeat me? Look at me. I'm this massive man. You can't defeat me. Come on, let's get it over with. Just imagine, he's so arrogant. He's mad that the Israelites would send somebody. That's almost like an insult to him. He's insulted. He couldn't believe it. He wasn't concerned at all that he would win or lose his battle. He knew he was going to win. He knew it. He was confident. Let's go to verse 45. Love this. Listen to how David responds to this. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin? Big deal. You know what I'm coming with? But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day, I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Wahoo! Yes! Are you kidding me? Look at this. Whose battle is it? Say it again. Whose battle is it? Come on, ladies and gentlemen, anything that you're facing, it is not your fight. I'm screaming. Guys, seriously, it's not your fight. It's not your fight. Whatever you're dealing with, God is bigger. Whatever you're going through, God is bigger. Whatever you're dealing with, God is bigger. God wants it. He's begging you to give it to him. Why are you holding on to it and allowing it to control your life? Sorry. God wants it. Guys, say this with me on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. Give it over to God. Finally, stop holding on to it. Stop letting it control you. Stop. Guys, the stress of holding on to our battles, it's a health thing. The stress, do you have any idea how much stress causes health issues? It's not your fight anymore. Give it up. You know what? The battle was won when Jesus died on the cross for your sins. It's done. The battle's won. David didn't know this. We have the privilege of knowing in Scripture how this story ends. The story ends with Jesus dying on the cross and raising 3 days later. That's the Savior that we serve. And yet, do you know what we do? I'm going to hang on to this. I can't give that to God. He won't understand or know what to do with it. Baloney. He's God. Do you forget who you're serving? Everybody say yes, because we do it all the time. It's God. For the battle is whose?
Yours.
Amen. Man. 1 Samuel 17:48. It's kind of amusing to me that the most talked about part of this story takes about 2 seconds. And yet we forget about all the preparation and the stuff that happened before. We forget about the work that God did in the life of David before any of this happened. 17:48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, and David and hurried and ran toward the army to meet. This guy is on a mission. He's not scared. He comes with his sling and he's running. He's like, let's go. He's going. He knows his cause. He knows his purpose. He's not fearful because he's got God on his side. And listen to what happens. Then David put his hand in his bag and he took out the stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell on his face to the earth. Could David have done that without God? God prepared him. God gave him his abilities. God did the work in David's heart. But you know what David did? He was obedient. He was faithful. He trusted God. Why don't we trust God? Why? Guys, get out of his way. Let God be God in your life. Let God overcome your battle. Whatever it is you're facing. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. If you guys remember, David's like, I'm not even going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. So he didn't have a sword. So what was he going to do? So therefore, David ran and he stood over the Philistine, took a sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him. And then cut off his head with it. This guy's awesome. And when the Philistines saw that their champion fled, was dead, they're like, I'm out. Did you just see what he did? Dude, that guy's like something amazing. Yeah, he is. Because God is in him. God is working through him. Can you imagine being a bystander of all of this? Can you imagine being a soldier with this Israelites or the Philistines and seeing this play out? Can you imagine walking up? You'd have the same kind of mindset that Goliath did. The Israelites are like, oh gosh. We might as well just give it up right now. Let's just start practicing being servants because there's no way David's going to beat Goliath. And the Philistines are like, yeah! Israel, you're ours. And then they see David coming with a confidence and he's slinging his thing. Boom, down goes. Can you imagine being a bystander of all this? Man. Golly. Dropped him. 44 caliber to the head. That's incredible. Guys, this isn't the story of David and Goliath. This is his story. This is God's story. Every one of us that are dealing with something, make it God's story. Don't make it your story. I have some questions for you. We're just going to end with these questions. Like I need that mic. First question. Devil's trying to do some work. He's not going to beat me. First question. What is your cause? I already asked this at the beginning, but what's your purpose, guys? Live out your life according to the purpose. Stay in this lane. Don't veer off. Stay right here, right in line with God. If that is your cause and you have made it a decision in your heart that's what you want to do is follow God, or God has worked and you are following God, don't veer off. Remember your cause. What is your cause? What is your purpose? Is that your compass? Is that what directs you whenever you guys are doing something? If what you're doing or listening to or watching or saying doesn't line up with your cause, just stop doing it. Preparation. The next question. Are you preparing properly? Are you putting in the work? Are you okay with where you're at, confident that God has you there? And are you paying attention to the little things maybe that God is doing where you're at right now, maybe preparing you for something else? Are you preparing properly? Because preparation, it doesn't go to waste. Guys, like David did, if he didn't go after that lion, he wouldn't have been prepared as he was to defeat Goliath. Guys, what you're doing and your preparation is as important as the task, if not more important. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew that steadfast spirit within me every single day. Let me ask you guys a question. Answer this to yourself. Pretend that I'm standing in front of you, and I say, Bryce, what are the chances that tomorrow you're going to go kill somebody? Rachel, what are the chances tomorrow that you're going to go steal something from the store? Pretty confident that every single one of you would say, no, I'm not going to do that. Do you know why? Because you understand the importance of not doing something like that. You understand the importance that it's against God. If I were to say to you, Alan, are you going to let anger control your emotions tomorrow? And you're like, yeah, maybe. Maybe it's because you haven't purposed in your heart that you're not going to let that happen. As you're not going to kill somebody, as if you're not going to steal. Why is it different for us? Why do we put these little things like anger and lust and we like put them off? We're like, oh, I can get away with that. But you're not going to murder. Do you see the difference? Like, why? Purpose in your heart that you're not going to do anything against God. And stick with it. Treat whatever is against God like murder, if that's something that you wouldn't do, which I pray that it's not. Who's the hero of your story? Are you? Is your dad? Is your pastor? Is your mom? God should be the hero of all of our stories. Hey guys, when we figure this out, when we shift our mindset to the renewing of the mind that it talks about in Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we make that decision to do that, and we spend more time with God, and we surround ourselves with people who are following Christ, and we get involved in activities that are wholesome and won't cause you to be tempted to be unwholesome. When we do all this, when we know our cause, when you prepare properly, when you know who your hero of the story is, your battle will be won with the one. Whose battle is it? Give it over to God, guys. Prepare yourselves. Know your cause. It's the Lord's battle. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, you are amazing. Thank you so much for the word. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you. God, thank you that no matter what we're facing, whether it be an addiction, an illness, a death in the family, an anger issue, a lust issue, a pornography issue, whatever it is, God, please give us the courage to lay it at your feet. Give us the courage to allow you to take the battle. Let us relinquish control, God. We don't need to be in control, God. You want the control. Allow us to be the disciples of Christ that you've called us to be. Allow us to be like David in this story and prepare ourselves so that we're ready no matter what we face. Confident in you. We love you so much, God. In your great and precious name we pray. Amen.